Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our
risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God which we meditate upon this morning is from Acts chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And at that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he has given us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life." So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. I was reading an autobiography of the first missionary to Tibet. And he explained how when he first came, it was very difficult for him to find someone to teach him the language of the Tibetans. He was a foreign Christian, and they didn't really want him there. Eventually, he found one man who went against the advice and counsel of the community and agreed to teach him the language. And so he went to his house for his first lesson, and the Tibetan man brought out a piece of meat and offered it to the missionary. The missionary wasn't very sure where that meat came from or how well it had been taken care of and politely refused. So the Tibetan man took the meat and put it away and continued with the lesson. The next day, the Christian missionary came again, and again the Tibetan man offered him the same piece of meat. Now the missionary knew that it was at least a day old and was even less likely to eat it, and so politely refused again. For 5 days, at the beginning of each lesson, the Tibetan man offered this Christian missionary the same piece of meat, so that on the 5th day it was fairly rotten and spoiled. But nevertheless, on the 5th day, the Christian missionary decided that he had better eat it, and he did. The Tibetan man then said to him, "Now you have learned your first lesson. When anyone offers you food, accept it and eat it gladly and with thanks." Food can be a tricky thing for us. We don't want to offend another person. And yet there's often many things like meat that's been sitting out for 5 days that we would rather not eat. Peter reminds us, the Holy Spirit, of course, through Peter and Luke, remind us in our scripture text today that we should not call common, we should not despise or look down our nose or refuse anything that God has given to us and called clean and sanctified. This is especially true when we see how to what great lengths God has gone to cleanse those things and to present them to us. Just as when we know that someone has gone to great lengths to prepare a food, to prepare a meal for us, we should not despise or refuse it. Even more so, we should not despise or refuse what God has cleansed and sanctified. First, this applies to food in our text, the sheet full of animals that is let down for Peter. And in this regard, Peter had a much more difficult task than we do, for of course he had been brought up from the time that he was little, being taught that he was not to eat certain foods. And they were off limit. And indeed, in the Old Testament, as you, most of you well know, God had made many laws about such things. You remember the story of Daniel and the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How when they were in Babylon, and the king of Babylon wanted them to eat meat so that they would grow strong, they refused because of the command that God had given to them, and God at that time indeed blessed them for their obedience to his word. Peter might have been thinking about that very same story as this sheet full of animals came down before him. And yet, now God wants him to eat. The list of things to eat and not to eat in the Old Testament was indeed a list of food. You know, eat this, don't eat that. But it wasn't really ever about the food. It was always about the people. Jesus, in Matthew 21:33, talking about these Old Testament laws, says that God set a hedge around the people of Israel. He uses the picture of a vineyard. And how you need to put a fence around your vineyard or your garden in order to keep it safe, keep it separate. Indeed, we have a lot of problems with the deer eating the strawberry, our strawberries, because we don't have a fence around our garden. It was God's intention in the Old Testament that the people of Israel should be kept separate and safe from the people around them. He knew that the natural tendency of humans is to mingle. He knew that the natural tendency of the Jews over the many years would be to borrow some things from their neighbors and eventually kind of become like them, mixing the word of the Lord that had been given to them with the myths and the fables and the ideas of the religions that surrounded them. God did not want this. He wanted his people preserved, and he wanted his word preserved in its truth and purity, and for that reason, he set a hedge around them. He made these laws about what they should eat and not eat in order to make them different and to be a constant reminder to them that they were different. Imagine growing up in Wisconsin if you never ate pizza. And you went to school every day and all your friends were eating pizza, but you didn't eat pizza. It would become very obvious very quickly that you were different. And even give you a chance to witness if the reason you didn't eat pizza was because of your faith, as it was for the Jews. Nowadays, many people looking back at these Old Testament laws and wondering, well, why did God say, well, you can't eat bacon, you can't eat lobster? Make the false assumption that it was, there must be something wrong with lobster, there must be something wrong with bacon. That God was protecting his people from something that was bad for them. But that was never the case. As I said, it wasn't about the food. It was about the people. Now, after Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven, that hedge is removed. Colossians 2:16, let no one judge you with regard to food or drink or new moons or Sabbaths or festivals, which are a shadow of the substances of Christ. Now that hedge is removed. God no longer sought to keep the Jewish people separate. He wanted them now to go out from Jerusalem to mingle. The very thing he was trying to keep them from before, he wants them to go and mingle with the people of the world and to share the gospel as they go and to share the words of Jesus Christ. And so he shows Peter in this vision. He is removing those Old Testament regulations that kept them separate, the eating of the food, so that they will go and eat with the Gentiles and share the forgiveness of sins with all people. And so the Lord teaches Peter, what I have cleansed and called holy, don't you despise. Don't you despise bacon and lobster anymore, yes, but more importantly, do not despise these people, the Gentiles whom I also came to save. Unfortunately, it was not just Peter who needed convincing. Peter saw the vision. Peter went and ate with the Gentiles. Another thing that was forbidden by the Old Testament ceremonial laws, to go into a Gentile house and to eat with them. But Peter understood the message from God and rejoiced that Jesus had cleansed the Gentiles and brought them the message of salvation and rejoiced when they received the Holy Spirit. But back home in Jerusalem, at the church there, there were many who did not rejoice, but who thought, how can Peter do this thing? This is contrary to God's word and to God's law. There were many people in that church who jumped to conclusions and to judgment when they did not know the whole story, when they did not know what they were talking about. Now a few weeks ago, we saw the description of that first church in Jerusalem, and we marveled at their love for one another, their unity. They had all things in common, their dedication to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They went out proclaiming the gospel, even in the face of severe persecution and fear. And we asked the question, like, how can we be more like them? That was a wonderful picture of that early New Testament church, one that is hard for us to live up to. And here in our text today, we see a different side of the church. A people who, hanging on to the old ways, hanging on to traditions, jumping to conclusions and judgments about Peter when they don't know what's going on, jumping to condemning and condemnation. And unfortunately, we have to admit that we sound a lot more like this description of the church, or this description of the church, we could say, sounds a lot more like us than that other very beautiful and wonderful picture of the church. And yet, they were the church. And they had received the Holy Spirit. And also these Gentiles to whom Peter went were the church and received the Holy Spirit. And you notice how they also spoke in tongues. On that first Pentecost, the apostles were given this gift from the Holy Spirit that they were able to speak in tongues so that they could proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone that was gathered in their own native language. It was a tool by which Jesus was proclaimed and forgiveness of sins was proclaimed. But now that has become an outward symbol of the filling and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, so that as the gospel goes out, the Holy Spirit now gives that same gift here in the house of Cornelius, and also we're going to see it as Paul goes out proclaiming the gospel. He gives it in many of the cities there as well as an outward example, an outward sign that these people, also were the church of God. And so we have that sign from God that this church in Jerusalem, despite their sinful attitude here, was the church of God. And that though that group of people there in the house of Cornelius, despite their sin and despite the fact that they were Gentiles, were the church of God. Because they also had been washed in the blood of Christ. They also had been cleansed. And so once again, the lesson, the message of that vision of Peter is applied to the people. That we should not call unclean or turn up our noses or despise or look down upon those whom Jesus has cleansed with his own blood. And that goes for us as well. Yeah, we outwardly don't live up to that example, that first description of the early Christian church. And we often might see from an outward looking at our church, some of us might see many sins and problems of the people here, yet who are we to criticize or to judge one another whom God has cleansed with his own blood? What is it that we confess every Sunday in church? Even this morning, we confess, I believe in the Holy Christian Church. Where is this holy church? Where is this group of people who love Christ and love one another and serve each other and the world in humility and love? Where are those people? They cannot be seen by the human eye because we are so apt to see one another's sin and our own sin as well. Yet we confess every Sunday, I believe in the Holy Christian Church, because we know it is there and it is here among us by the promise and the command of God. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. A church is not a church because of it looking holy on the outside. A church is holy because Christ makes it holy through his blood. And if he has washed our neighbors and ourselves with his blood and called us saints and sons of God, who are we to despise or look down upon one another? Jesus is here in the midst of us, and we are the church of God by his promises. The promise of God remains sure and certain. What God has called holy, we should not disdain. 1 Peter 3:20, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. And what a wonderful and comforting the passage that is for us as well. When we look at our own lives and are tempted to despair because of the sin we see there, we have the same promise of God that we should not despise or criticize what Jesus has washed and cleansed clean, which is ourselves. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.